Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. How should you discipline your young children? It is an age-old question. Time out, taking away privileges, reasoning with them. And what about spanking? Well, tonight we take a look at this issue. My guest is parenting strategist Carol Muletta. Lines are open. I want to hear what you think. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Carol, thanks for joining the conversation.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So before we get into this, I want to play for our listening audience an excerpt from something that happened just last month at a Florida elementary school.
No, put your hands down. You better be glad you're not my daughter, because I would spank your butt all the time for acting like that. And I wish you would try to call the police on me. That's called being a brat.
So that is an elementary school principal who is now on administrative leave in Florida after paddling a child, an 8-year-old child, three times with a wooden paddle, the mother videotaping it, and it was because that child had scratched a school computer. That principal is now on administrative leave. The mother wants the principal charged with assault, and authorities are looking into it. We just heard one thwack, but there were three. Your thoughts about that, Carol?
I am very disturbed by that. First of all, that a principal would even engage in that, because I looked at that story, and from what I understand, although paddling is allowed in some school districts in Florida, apparently in that school district, it's not allowed, and so it shouldn't have been done at all. And honestly, I am not for physical discipline or corporal punishment in schools. I think that that is just a gross dishonor and betrayal of children. I feel that parents have a covenant with their children. Aside from providing their food, clothing, and shelter, parents are tasked to equip children with life skills to function outside of the school, outside of the home, and when they're out among other people. So we are their first coaches and trainers, and I think that that was just totally out of place for that that principal and administrator to administer discipline, physical discipline to that child.
Okay, so let's talk about children under the age of 12. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend, depending on the offense, that a parent should discipline a child? And I said under the age of 12, but, you know, 12 years or even 10, you know, 2 to 12 years, that's a really expansive period of time, and there should be age-appropriate discipline. So kind of give me the rundown of your thoughts.
Okay. So starting with those early years, now you're really talking about from 1 to 3 or you know, 4 maybe. There, you're redirecting the misbehavior. I mean, you are giving them some words that so that they understand that we don't climb on things or we don't hit each other or whatever. You do that, but at the same time, you can redirect them to another situation, move them away from where they can cause harm to other people. But all the while, you're giving them news they can use. That's what I call it. It's news that they can use to make good decisions. And so as they get older, then you're really you're still giving them that news they can use about how to handle themselves in situations, but you're also explaining the consequences of their actions. So then you're letting them know that up, okay? If you're out at the park or you're at your friend's birthday party or something like that, you can let them know. If the hitting continues, we're going to have to go home. Like, let them know what's going to happen and follow through with it. And, you know, sometimes it might be an uncomfortable situation for you, but you have to follow through on it. That's how they learn that their actions can affect other people, and that their actions just have consequences.
So let's go back to this example. Carol, you're a parent, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Tell me about your children, ages. They're probably mm-hmm. adults now, but what's going on with your kids? What are your ages, boys, girls, what?
Right. Okay. So I'm the mom of twin sons. They are 21 years old. They are finishing up their third year in college. Mm-hmm. And so, listen, I mean, I'll be the first to admit that when they were younger, like, say, two, you know, I might smack their leg or their hand or something like that to tell them to stop doing something. And, you know, I was this big person towering over them. I had the power, and even I didn't like that. I didn't feel, you know, I found myself just having to keep doing it because my son, one son, well, he was like, well, you can hit because, like, you're hitting me. So I guess it's okay if I do that to my brother or something like that. And so it wasn't sinking in. Whatever I wanted to redirect him from or correct him with, it just wasn't sinking in with the spanking. And, you know, I'm glad for that because shortly after that, I took parenting classes and really just learned about another approach. And that really is to, you know, communicate with them and let them know, give them the information they need so they can make choices. So you can, for when they were younger, it's like you can clean up, you can pick up your toys and put them away, and then we can eat dinner. And don't serve dinner until that's done or whatever it is. And so that's how they were able to kind of connect the dots to my actions can lead to certain outcomes. And so they can make the choice about how they're going to behave. And so that was, once I did that, you know, look, they still misbehaved, but they had the information and they knew that I was going to act.
So hold on, because, okay, so let me just say, Carol, I'm, you know, my daughter is 22. She'll be 23 next month. Mm-hmm. Like your twin son, she just graduated from college last year. Wonderful child. I guess she's always going to be my child, even at almost 23 years old. But you just said, and I'm, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm old school. I am an advocate of, you know, as they say, you know, beat that tail. It happened with me, okay? I don't have a criminal record. Some couple of speeding tickets that I've had to pay for, sure. It happened with my sister, and, you know, my sister is a senior vice president for a large, well-known nonprofit. So I guess but you just said that, you know, you spanked your kids, whether it was the arm or the leg, to get, you know, their attention. One of them it worked for, one of them isn't. And you have two. We have twin boys that are in college, mm-hmm. not in jail, not disrespectful. So I'm trying to figure out, convince me that spanking isn't an appropriate tool for raising children who act up, act out, and the like.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to make sure I make it clear that, you know, I started that when they were 2 years old, and I stopped that when they're about about 2.5 years old because I got new information. Certainly, yes, I grew up with spankings.
And
as
look
well.
At you, and look at you now.
Well, you know what though? Let me tell you something. And I'm going to just go ahead and tell on myself.
Okay.
What it made me do, my parents didn't mistreat me. And as a matter of fact, I wasn't spanked very often because I was scared. And so what I noticed about myself, and I can't make a statement about everybody else, is that I became sneaky and I had a hard time making choices and making decisions and taking risks because of that. I really do attribute to that. I attribute it to that. And, blessed by parents' heart. I know they meant well. And I wasn't spanked much because of that. I mean, so I would much rather have my children think critically about what they're doing and before they decide to do it. And just know that there's going to be consequences. Another thing I want to get back to is about discipline. It's not about punishment. It's about training. So what does spanking have to do with the spilled milk? It's still sitting there on the floor, but you spanked the child because, they went over and decided they were going to get their own snack and made a mess in the kitchen. The mess is still there. It's far more instructive to involve the child in cleaning that up.
Okay, so, and here's the thing with that. And let me remind our listeners why we're having this conversation, what this conversation is about. We're talking about disciplining our children. How should you do it? There are many ways that you can discipline a child, but some people say spanking, hitting, definitely very 20th century, very 19th century. There are modern ways reasoning with a child and the like. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, let's look at the example that you just gave. Spilling milk, I believe, or breaking a plate, or breaking a glass, if it is an accident, mm-hmm. does not require discipline. It requires instruction. Okay, be careful with the milk when you mm-hmm. decide to go and get the milk. Be careful when you're holding a glass. These things happen. Plates break. Glasses break. But when a child decides, when you say, don't touch the glass, mm-hmm. and you know with twin boys that they're going to walk over to the table, they're going to stand by the table, they're going to look at that glass, and they're going to look at you, and their eyes say, their actions say, so what you going to do if I touch this glass?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, what did I say? Don't touch the glass. And they're looking at you, and they're looking at the glass. They're looking at you, and they're looking at the glass.
Go ahead and let me see what you're going to do, Daddy. And then they touch the glass, and that's different. That's not an accident.
So do you sit down and have an adult conversation with a child who just tried your patience?
Well, I mean, here we're talking, the answer is no.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that first right off. But again, depending on the age of the child, now if it's a younger child, toddler, 1 to 4, years old, whatever, I'm going to need to move the glass. Like, you move it out of the way and move on. It's not about getting into this showdown with your child. It's like, and that would be easily taken care of. But now when you have a child that destroys property, let's do something else. I mean, let's pick another example. The child is destroying property. As a matter of fact, this parent said the child was doing that. And then destroyed property at school. That is why the school called that mother. So first off, the parent should have come to pick her up. They did ask her to come to school and bring $50. Apparently, in this case,
yes, that's true.
So that $50. I mean, the mom could have come up there, brought took her child home to deal with this in the family the way, you know, discipline, I think, should be done. But also pay the $50, and guess what? That $50 is going to come out of that child's birthday money or whatever they have, or if there's something that's coming up, you know, that child, that's a consequence. And it's related to what happened. So, okay, you know, so then that child knows that when I damage stuff, I got to fix stuff.
Well, before I let you continue, I've got to fix this conversation because I've got to take a break. But I'm letting our listeners know, Andre from Maryland, we're going to talk to you. We're going to talk to Darnell from Upper Marlboro. We're going to talk to Eleanor calling from D.C. Please do not hang up. We're talking about disciplining your children. How should you do it? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live. If you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mon is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about disciplining your young child. How should you do it? Are you old school and into spanking? Maybe it's time for time out. What about taking away privileges? It's an age-old question. My guest is parenting strategist Carol Muletta. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let us hear what our listeners have to say. First, let's go to Darnell calling from Upper Marlboro. Darnell, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon, WHUR family. How y'all doing?
I'm doing fine. Go right ahead.
Hey, I'm decent. I heard everything that was said, and my response would be, from being a parent of three, 32-year-old female, 26-year-old son, college graduate, and about to be 13-year-old son on the 19th. Now, I did hear you guys talk about, you know, how a child can try you with the nitpicking, you know, like when the lady said a stare down, you know. Well, yeah. But me as a parent, I was born 1967. Now, I know we all come from that era of spare the rod, spoil the child, you know, hard head, make a tenderized hind pots.
Tenderized.
Yeah, you know. You
yes,
know
yes, I do. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, they tell you they're going to put a little bit of onion powder on your seasoned salt. You don't know what it is until you see grandma, grandpa, mom, daddy get up, man. And when somebody raise up, somebody go onto the floor. But in the same token, I am a witness, a firm believer if the cycle is broken. I have never been beaten. I'm 54, hard head to the core. Tell me three, four times you've been talking to the wall, because I ain't heard nothing you said. I'm going outside still throwing rocks and cars. Yeah, I mean, it was just an old school game. People chase you, and if you get caught, you know what happens. They're not your friend. But anyway, more to the story is, my son, GPA 4.1, never hit him, don't spank, never hit my oldest, never slapped my daughter. You know, we ask for consistency in relationship, in marriage. We ask for our mom and daddy to be consistent to us. Well, how about the consistency of the parent to the daughter to the son?
Okay.
We got time for Yeah, but Harold, check it. If my son had an issue, like I told him before.
Real quick, Andre, I got a lot of folks on the phone. Real quick.
Don't. I had told my son to take something upstairs. He didn't. So he dropped the iPad. It broke. He looked at me frantic with tears, you know, like, I broke your iPad. I just looked at him and said, things happen. I could have been standing right here, same thing. I mean, we all been in the same situation, but I'm a firm believer in when you beat on something, you break it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Darnell. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Andre, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Andre. What's on your mind?
Yes, I agree with all the three methods, timeout, spanking, and punishing. But the most effective one is you do something wrong, beat that as the world turns. That was the most effective for me. I came up in the 50s, and I didn't like the way my dad punished me, spanked me, and I started to step to him. But I learned that stepping to him would have been a big mistake.
I bet.
I'm glad that I did not. My dad was big. I'm glad I did not. And that helped me with respect for elders. So, yes, beat that as the world turns. Do the timeout. Punish them. Do all of that. Because kids get away with murder these days. And a lot of parents don't want you to say anything to their kids or touch them. And parents like that, don't bring your child around me. My daughter's grown. She's 33.
Okay.
So she's doing fine. And she remembers. She remembers Mr. Black, Mr. Brown. They were the colors of my belt.
Oh, my. Okay.
She laughs. She laughs right now, but she loves me.
Okay. Well, Andre, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You wanted to say something, Carol?
Yes, sir. First of all, by taking a stand that you're not going to spank your child, you are not by any means sparing the rod. I still corrected my children. And as a matter of fact, correcting them the way I did once I stopped with the little tap on the legs or whatever I was doing when they were younger, once I stopped with that, it was actually more work. It was more work for me, but the lessons stuck. And they did have consequences for their action. Now, of course, I considered intention, like you said, about the spilled milk. But those were very important lessons for them to learn. It got them thinking. It got them thinking about the choices that they make and the fact that there were consequences, and I held to them. Sometimes they were painful consequences.
Such as?
Not physically, but, you know, just painful consequences where they lost things. You know, they lost things that were very valuable to them. I'm like, okay, one son, he was playing AAU basketball. He had an iPod. Yeah, he had an iPod, and he put it in his shoe. And, you know, that wasn't a good idea. He should have put it in his bag or whatever. And so it was stolen. And, you know, and it was, at the time, that was an expensive thing for him to have. And, you know, why are we, I mean, yeah, we spent money on that. I mean, why spank him? What was that going to do?
But Carol,
I mean,
okay.
So he lost his iPod. He lost his iPod and had to work for his replacement. And so I bet you he hasn't lost his phone.
Yeah, but Carol, hold on now. Okay, this is the second example where, okay, why would you discipline someone for something that was stolen?
Because
see,
he was told to put it somewhere else.
Right,
to do something else with it.
But the thing that I'm talking about malicious behavior. I'm not you spent a lot of money on it. I told you that you shouldn't have put it in your shoe. It was stolen. Okay, well, as a parent, how old was he playing AAU basketball? What, 12, 13, what?
He was about 12 when that happened. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I would have been upset about it, but that's your toy that you were supposed to take care of. I'm not going to buy you another one. That's not discipline. That's like, that's a lesson learned. So you, I know you won't do that again. I'm talking about issues related to children who do things intentionally, maliciously, that are disrespectful, girls and boys.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't, you know, my feeling is if something happens, okay, you know, it's not, you're not going to discipline a, you know, a child, you know, for okay. for something that happens. But if I, you know, if I tell you, don't go outside, okay, because it's time to eat, and you say I'm going outside, that's okay. what I'm talking about.
Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. I've got two more examples if we got time. So, okay.
Oh, we have plenty of time. Go right ahead.
Okay. So, all right. So we had a gathering. Our sons had a party. I think they were, our sons had a party. And they had some friend, you know, had some of their little guy friends over. And so they decided that they were going to play, they call it Ding Dong Ditch, right? So going around the neighborhood and ringing people's doorbells.
Mm-hmm.
And
how old are these children at this time?
I still think 12.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I still think 12 or 13. So so they did that. And so one of the neighbors was kind enough to come over, you know, because he had known the boys since they were, you know, 12 months old or whatever when we moved into this neighborhood. And so he came over and told us what was going on. And you know, and one of the kids, not my sons, was disrespectful to one of the neighbors too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so our thing was, first of all, party over. And also, you know, we had to talk with them about, you know, this is your neighborhood. This is where we live. These are relationships that we formed, and you are responsible for, you know, your friends, you know, coming into this neighborhood and disrespecting your neighbors. So what they had to do was they had to write a letter, you know, short, but write a letter. And I was like, okay, and tell me the houses you went to. I mean, I jotted down every house that, you know, that they had gone to. And they went to every house and knocked on every door and apologized to those neighbors face to face. And a lot of, you know, some of them were like, oh, you know, no problem. But I was like, no, because discipline is very much, again, it's not about punishment. It's about teaching, and it's about restoration. You restore the relationship, you restore the trust, you restore the property that you've damaged, whatever it is. That is what discipline is about. You go back and fix what you destroyed. Okay. So that was, you know, so they went around, they went to every house and did that. I didn't do that for them. I didn't apologize to the parents for them. They did that. They had to look those parents in the eye and do that. Okay. So then you talked about the other thing about, you know, I told you not to go outside and you went anyway. Okay. So it was Halloween. And so, we came home from school and, you know, had to get some things done so they could go trick or treat. And this time they were probably about between 9 and 10, I'll say mm-hmm. something like that. And so there's a neighborhood party that everybody likes to go to. They have it every year before they go making their rounds. Okay, so I said that they could not go yet because, you know, they needed to do something else. Well, my one son went anyway.
Mm.
And so so he came back because, you know, you went to that and then, you know, wanted to go trick-or-treating. He didn't go. Like, I'm still known as the mom. I mean, the kids are 21 years old, and I have still heard within the past year or so that you're the mom that didn't let, you know, I can't believe you didn't let your child go trick-or-treating. He did not go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because that's a consequence. Now, I mean, spanking him for not listening to me? No, you don't get, you know, you lose a privilege. And so, and then, you know, I have another Halloween story.
Well, before you go to that, I want to go back to the phone lines, and I want to hear
some of those, I know some of those stories. It sounds to me like you just had some angels, because there's some bad kids out here. But and that's you know, I get the Halloween thing and the apologizing to the neighbors. Maybe you know, some of the guys I grew up with, and I'm sure they're listening. You know who you are. Yeah, those are some bad guys. But anyway, let me go back to the phone lines. And I want to ask you about that as well. Let's talk to Eleanor. Okay. Eleanor, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Eleanor. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I just, again, I wanted to agree with your guest tonight. I work as a school psychologist. And, again, what the gentleman said a few callers ago, you know, beating will lead to breaking. And so you I think you've said a couple of times about these success stories, but the breaking comes in those relationships. And so, you know, I just want our callers, your callers, to think about parenting from love and not from fear. And I think a lot, the other thing is that as your guest said, spanking doesn't teach the behavior that you want. So it just, you know, it instills fear, and it may prolong, you know, it may deter for a little bit, but you haven't taught the child what you're expecting and what your expectations are. And so I think, again, kids are going to press test the boundaries. They're going to test you. That's developmentally appropriate. But the response should be, and I think a lot of times, you know, you said, you know, they're egging you on, and they're pressing. When you're in that point, and you're responding. A parent is usually responding out of anger, and so I think it's just, again, it's a whole mindset change to think about discipline in a way that is, again, a teachable moments and helping kids, like your guest said, to think critically about the decisions that they're going to make. They're still going to make mistakes. They're still going to try. You know, they're going to test those boundaries. But to give them the ability to think about and also to be consistent with the consequences is critically important. But I often have parents think about someone spanking you that is 2-3 times your size. That is fear inducing. And so is that
Eleanor, that's the point. Hold on, Eleanor. Let me be really clear. My daddy put the fear of God in me. And when we talk, and that's the thing, because to be quite honest, the reason why I didn't steal when I was a kid was not because I was afraid of the police. I was afraid of my father. And so, you know, and maybe I'm, you know, exaggerating a little bit. Jail or, you know, reform school or whatever they called it back then, you know, juvenile detention, you know, in my mind, was a whole lot better than needing to face my father. And so I get it, but yeah, I'm not worried about a little fear when it comes to children. I think we lost Eleanor, but let me go to, you're going to have to help me with this name. It's Fernandez. Fernandez, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind?
There you go, Mr. Figure Fernandez.
Thank you so much. I apologize.
No, that's quite all right. Now, I understand you don't spank a child for every single incident.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Of course not. And you can instruct and all those things along the way, along with the spanking. Just the way I look at it. Like, say I bought a toaster, and the toaster says, no, I don't want to toast. I want to make ice cubes. And I'm like, hold up. This manual says you're supposed to toast. I created you to toast. Then now I want to make ice cubes. So our creator says, better off for the child. So this is what we do. We go to school. No disrespect. We go to school, get a little education, do a few studies, and we say, nah, we think it's better that we don't spank the child. But the creator says, better off for the town. And I think it's no coincidence, like, the children that's growing up today, why we have so many issues. I think, of course, there's other things that lends itself to it, but I think that's a big part of it. Because when I was coming up in my house, spanking was a household thing. And it was, of course, you would still go out and do things, but you knew when you got home, not only was you going to get a spanking from your mom, you might have got it from your aunt on the way home, you might have got it from your cousin up the street. Spanking, it was a part of everyday life when it was necessary. Of course, once again, not abuse. So I'm simply saying this. If the manual says, spare the rod, spoil the child, and we think that, okay, well, nah, Crater, you don't know. We know best, so we're not going to spank them. I think, of course, you have outliers with some, like my daughter's answers. Never had the spankers, just a look. And we had to understand it. But my son, totally different conversation.
Fernandez, thank you so much. Carol, go right ahead.
Okay. So, you know, to his last point about the rod, the look that he gave his daughter was the rod. People need to get out of this mindset that the rod, it speaks to physical punishment. I mean, since we're going to go to the Bible, I mean, let's also think about how a shepherd tends to sheep. Do you see shepherds chasing after sheep, whacking them over the back with their rod, with their staff? No. What they do with that is they stay there. They're connected to their children. I mean, to the sheep. And they are gently tapping them with the rod. Okay, please do not think that just because people say that they're not going to spank their children, that they're not going to do the other pieces. And so I have a 5-point model that I think parents should follow. And I think it's not, don't just say, oh, I'm not going to spank my child, but not have other elements in place to train your child and instill discipline. There are certain things that need to be in place so that you can do that. And you don't have to spank them to do that. Can I share the model?
No, please. Absolutely. I was about to encourage that. Fernandez, thank you so much. And the other thing that I wanted to add is maybe parents of bad children or undisciplined children perhaps need to start earlier. Because I will say, yeah, I gave my daughter that look. I mean, I think I only spanked my daughter twice, and it wasn't severe. But that allowed me to give her the look as she got older. And when I say older, I'm talking about 4 or 5 years old. But, you know, there had to be something that preceded the look to let her know that you don't want to try, Daddy, but please go right ahead.
Not necessarily did it have to be physical punishment, though. But, you know, and like I said, I'll say again, that look is a rod. That's a rod of correction. But here are the 5 C's that are just critical. I mean, starting off, a connection. Your child has to know that you are coming from a place of love. You have a relationship with your child. You're genuinely interested in your child. And next comes clear communication. So state your expectations. Teach them. Give them life skills. Give them the training. Allow them to ask respectful questions. That's training. And then next, you got to hand them a compass. And what I'm talking about there is direction within boundaries. And you know, the boundaries for acceptable behavior, boundaries for how to get things done. Give them some options. Give them some leeway that they can operate in. Like, you have to have your, have your homework done by 5:30 because we're sitting down to eat at 6, okay? Maybe you don't care whether they go outside and play for a few minutes or they eat a snack before they do their homework, long as it's done by 5:30, that's okay. That's a boundary. Okay. That's a compass. They know what they can do. Next, is giving them choices and teach them how to make choices very early on. You can start with things that affect them. I mean, about, you know, little kids picking out their clothes or whatever. That sounds trivial, but they're making choices. They're learning their own mind at a very early age. So you communicate the options that they have available to them and then give them that agency to make their choices, to make decisions. And then there are consequences, you know, and first of all, consequences are not always negative, right? They're just results that come due to action or inaction. But allow those natural, some consequences are just natural, okay? You know, you leave your jacket outside and it rains, you got a wet jacket or whatever, or you leave it at school, you come home, you're cold on the way home, whatever. And then sometimes you have to set up some logical consequences for what what children have done. And so when you set that up, you know, those consequences need to be reasonable. They need to be reasonable and in proportion to what they have done. It needs to be related to what they have done. And it should be respectful of the child, and it should teach responsibility. And I like to always add on, it should do something to restore the situation. And so if you don't have all of those pieces, you just decide, I'm not going to spank, but you're not going to teach them how to make choices. You're not going to allow them to live with their consequences. Well, then, yeah, you are going to have spoiled children who are just drunk on power and just don't know boundaries. And when they get out into the world and deal with other people, they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
I'm really struggling with this with this conversation, Carol, because you keep making reference to consequences for things that they don't do. I'm not, you left your jacket out in the rain. I don't think I know of, I can't imagine any child that would intentionally do that. Children are forgetful. I get that. No, you're not going to, and you're going to show them, yeah, you left your coat out in the rain. I told you don't leave your coat. I don't think that kid is like, I'm just going to leave my coat in the rain. No.
Okay.
No, I'm talking about children who are intentionally disrespectful or trying, you know, what kind of consequences for a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old when they're, you know, yeah, I get it. You left your, see what happened, Bobby? You left your coat in the rain. It's wet. And now you have a wet coat. I'm not talking about that.
Let's talk about destroying property. Like, let's talk about this example. I mean, well, which I had already said earlier, like with this child that damaged equipment at the school. I mean, whatever money she has, I mean, you know, she should pay, because that's coming out of the family's pocket, paying for that, what she damaged. She should have to contribute to that.
But what about a 3 or 4-year-old? That's what I mean. Because I want to talk about where you need to really start. Because, I get the 8-year-old, and we still don't know the circumstances under which she scratched the computer, whether it was intentional, whether it was malicious, was it an accident, that we don't know. Early, go ahead. You know, 3 or 4.
Okay, so then now you're talking about, so you're talking about children who may be mark on the wall. I mean, they know, they have the markers, and
there you go.
They decide to do that.
After you told them not to.
There you go.
So then what do you do?
Okay, go get the cleaning product and start cleaning. I mean, and you don't do that for them. I mean, like, if it's the first time they've ever worked with the cleaning products or whatever. Yes, show them how to do it, but they clean that up. Mm-hmm. Let them clean that up. And it's not, you don't have to stand over them and be like, you know, I told you and this and that and the other, and you're destroying things and you're a terrible child. But it's like, you just got to clean it up. And here's the stuff you use. I mean, it's that piece about restoring the situation. Making it good, making amends. That's what you do.
Hopefully, they
they won't, you know, do it the next day because they figure, well, I can just clean it up and now I have a blackboard or a whiteboard.
Well, okay, but see, then it's a matter of, well, okay, the markers, they don't have access to the markers for a few days.
Okay.
I mean, you, and you have to be consistent. I mean, because like, say, I guess you're going to tell me, oh, okay, well, if I can't have the markers, I'm going to do whatever. You have to be consistent every step of the way. Don't burn out and don't blink. Apply those consequences, but you do not have to physically punish them. I mean, you know, with spanking or other types of, you know, physical punishment. You don't have to do that. It takes some work, but you want them to see that you're consistent. That's what happens. I mean, where it falls apart is if we're not consistent. And I believe one of the callers talked about that. Be consistent. It can't be cool. It can't be cool to mark on the wall today, and then, you know, Thursday, you know, you're all of a sudden mad about it because, you know, you didn't say anything the other day, so I thought it was okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So you have to give your children news they can use.
Carol, if I have another child, I'll just send them to you. that's not happening.
I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, even for children that you're saying bad kids, which I don't like to call kids bad kids.
Yeah, I know.
But
until you see them acting crazy in the mall and stuff like that.
Well, leave. Yeah. Leave. I mean, there's something that you can do.
Carol, I got to run. Thank you so much for this great discussion. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, May 14th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. And now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.